Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Everybody good this morning? Everybody happy to be in church? You all right? Everybody like who you're sitting next to? All right? Hey, go ahead and tell the person next to you, you're looking good today. All right, come on, tell somebody. Guys, I'm trying to help you out here. All right? I like a good compliment. Hey, my name is Bobby. If I haven't got to meet you yet, I am incredibly grateful that you're here today. I wish that I could sit down and talk to each one of you individually and just let you know, man, your presence matters. We're so grateful. If this is one of your first times here, let me just be honest with you up front. We're a little crazy, all right? But we like to have fun. We love Jesus and we love to honor the Lord. And so we would love to, we got room in our family for you, all right? So if you want more information about that, we've got a great team out front and we got a gift for you. We would love for you to connect with us. We have a very special guest, a very special friend of mine. Come on up, Brad. I want to introduce you guys. This is Mr. Brad Linderman. When we started City Hope Church, we began to pray about some of our partners and who did we want to partner with. And one of the first individuals and ministries that we came up with was Brad and Christy. They're with Hope Through Him, and they are missionaries to Honduras, all right? And Brad is an East Tennessee guy, and if anybody can learn Spanish from East Tennessee, holy moly, you can do it if Brad can do it.
Yeah, I barely could order a Taco Bell before.
Right. So I want Brad to take 2 minutes, All right, take 2 minutes, Brad.
Three minutes.
and tell our church a little bit about what God's doing down in Honduras and about your ministry.
So I met this guy about, 15 years ago, right? Big part of my family's spiritual journey. It's great for us to be here. We love it here. And so, but about 10 years ago, I was in the same seats you guys were in. And so God changed their heart. We were going on mission trips around the world. And I hit Honduras, not the first place I'd ever been, but the first place that God said, hey, you could do this here. And so, about 10 years ago, we sold or gave away most of everything we had, moved to Honduras, and thought we were going to work in this little bitty small community of 30 houses. And how many people know that God has bigger plans than what you think he has, right? Like, I thought I'm going to work with these 30 families. Now we're working with the poorest of the poor in that city, but also the wealthiest people in our city. So we live in a city of about 200,000 people. And so we do everything from medical trips, family trips, student trips. These guys are, my daughter and son-in-law, running an incredible student ministry. 50 kids saved so far in that student ministry, baptizing kids. Worship nights coming in a progression to a church plant down there. So we're planning some trips with you guys, and we're going to talk about that. We'll be here after. I'm going to be a minute and a half today. So, you guys are coming, right?
Woo. We're still waking up.
Second service, man. We're supposed to be alive.
I get it.
Hey, come see us down there. Come see us up here in the front. You know, we never want to be that weird missionary family. When I grew up in church, when the missionaries came in, they were, I never want to be that guy, right? And so that's not who we are. We're just you guys in a different place. We do local ministry there, just like you guys do here. Everything you guys are doing relationally, we're doing it there. And so it's a little different ministry model. We don't hold signs and street preach. We don't do that. If you want to do that, I got a guy for you. But nobody wants to do that, really. So anyway, we'll be here after. We appreciate this guy. We love him and his family, and so it means a bunch to us.
Thank you, guys. Can y'all give it up for Mr. Brad? Definitely stop by after the service and meet them, and I know that God will use what they're doing. I love partnering with them. Today, we're kind of closing out. This is week 3 of the series that we've been in called 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. And it's just simply a time that we've set aside to just get back to the basics of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Christ, and a time to recenter our lives. I love this season. It just gives kind of a fresh start. And maybe you're here for the first time and just listening to it. Like, jump in with us today. Go 7 days of 21 days of prayer with us, or start your 21 days today and see what God does. Or let me even say this. Maybe you jumped in with us on week 1 and you've kind of had a misstep, or maybe you messed up on your fast and you broke it, but that's okay. Start back, make that commitment today. on our podcast, you can go back and get the last 2 weeks. And what we've been talking about is a model of prayer that the Bible gives us, a pattern. And it's just, it's called the tabernacle prayer. And it's just a way for us to learn how to pray and to get used to praying. And what does God want us to say? And what does that look like in our lives? And you can go back through that and catch up with us. I've been using this model. I've never used this model, you know, consistently. And through this 21 days, I've been consistently every morning just using this model. And man, it's just been so good. It's been so refreshing. And so let me just encourage you to jump in. I believe that it'll be so good for you, and your prayer life will become a joy, not a struggle, not a wonder. As I was thinking about this last message, man, God just been putting this thing on my heart, and I'm excited for the word you have today. I'm going to give you a lot of information, give you a lot of practical things. And so no matter who you are in this room, whether you're a student in sixth grade or you've been doing this, you know, Christ follower thing for a long time, I think today is for you. And I know that God has a word. And so we're just going to jump in together today. When I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of structure in my family, in my life. And so I love sports. And so God put coaches in my life. And man, I love my coaches. And I still have a relationship with all of them. They meant so much to me. And because of what they did for me, I wanted to do that for young people. And so ever since I've gotten out of college, I've coached something almost every single year of my life. And football, basketball, baseball, I've coached it all. And I love just building relationships with kids. I love building relationships with families. I love the trips and the bus rides and, you know, holding up the trophies and getting the championship rings. I love all of it. But one of the things that I really, really enjoy is the strategy of sports. I like game planning. And one of the, I don't know if this is weird or not, but one thing I like to do is I like to watch game film. And so if we got a game coming up and there's a team that we're going to play, I'm going to find film on that team, and man, we are going to do our best to find out what you're not good at. And we're gonna, like, if you have a point guard and they can't dribble with their left hand, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make that person dribble with their left hand the whole game, right? You are gonna have so much pressure, you're gonna wish you could sit on the bench with your coach. Or man, if we're you know, playing football, and we would always game plan, and we would look for the weaknesses in the defense, right? If your left side of your defense wasn't real good, man, we're going to run it down your throat every time. We're coming at you all night. Why do we do that? Because we want to win. We want to find out what you're not good at, and we're going to beat you. We're going to exploit that thing, and we're going to beat you. Well, here's what I believe today, church. I believe that you and I have an enemy that is watching your game film. Your personal life, he's watching you, and he's trying to find your specific weakness so that he can destroy you, so that he can have victory over your life. In other words, and probably a way that you guys have heard this before, is there spiritual warfare going on for your life. Now again, it doesn't matter if you're the youngest in the room or the oldest, we all have an adversary that is ready to destroy you and find your weakness. Here's what I believe that the Bible teaches, and I think that you and I need to really understand that you have an opponent who is watching your game film, trying to figure out this plan to defeat you. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. He's talking to Christians. He says, be sober-minded and be alert. Why? Why do I need to be sober-minded? Why do I need to be alert? Because look at this. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. So you have an enemy that is strategic, and he's looking, and he's trying to figure out right where to pounce on your life so that he can devour you. So right away, I want you to understand something. There is a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual warfare for your life. And I was thinking about what's the most simple way that I can say this, all right? Here you go. You ready? This is high theology, high doctrine stuff, okay? It's deep. The devil hates you, all right? He hates everything about you. You have a bullseye on your back, and he wants to destroy you. And I hope today opens some eyes. I hope today opens your heart to a better understanding of this enemy, this war. Now here's the truth about it. You didn't ask for this. You don't even necessarily want this. You were born into this battle. This battle, good versus evil. Spiritual warfare is a reality of life. The devil is a reality. From Genesis to Revelation, we read that scriptures paint us this picture of this cosmic battle that is going on in the unseen.
So I want to give you a couple facts today. Let me give you two facts. I'm going to give you a lot of practical stuff. But I want to give you two facts about spiritual warfare, okay? Spiritual fact number one is this. You have a real spiritual enemy. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Really? Like, that's so basic. That's so elementary. Well, I want you to hear this. In 2021, there was a survey taken of Christians. Over 50% of Christians said they do not believe that the devil is real, that he is some symbol, he is just some force, but there's no such thing as a real devil. Well, if you were the enemy, if you were the one trying to defeat everyone, I think one of the tricks would be the old, oh, don't even believe he's real, right? Because if you don't believe he's real, then you're probably not going to think much about fighting against him. Well, I want you to hear me today. The devil is actual and factual. He's not just a force. He hates you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy, students, your life. He wants to destroy your finances. He wants to destroy your family. He's subtle, he's strategic, and he's smart. The Bible says this about the devil. I didn't really go in and count, but there's over 30 different names of the devil. Let me give you just a few. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He's trying to deceive us. He disguises himself. Look at Revelation 12. Look at this. Then war broke out in heaven. There's a war going on in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. That's Satan. That's the enemy. The dragon and his angels also fought, but he could not prevail. There was no place for them in heaven any longer. So look at this. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent, who is also called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to earth and his angels with him. So the devil reigns on earth. He is the universe. He is the public enemy number one. He's the chief opponent of God and his people. He's the leader of the demonic forces. Jesus called him the murderer from the beginning. And he's engaged in an all-out war. Listen to this, against you. He's engaged in an all-out war against you. Anything good, anything that is striving to be godly, anything that is striving to be righteous, the devil hates. And so I want you to understand this today. You have an enemy. And if we're going to stand firm against that enemy, if we're going to win against the enemy, we need to know what we're up against. We need to understand the reality and the truth about the enemy. Satan is not God's opposite, all right? Here's what I mean by that. It's not God on this side and Satan on this side. Satan is not equal with God. Satan is God's opponent, but he's not the same as God. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. He's not omniscient. He can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent. But you have a real spiritual enemy. So number one, you have a real spiritual enemy. Number two, the weapon of your spiritual enemy is deception. The weapon of your spiritual enemy is deception. Satan works in the art of deception. He works hard to get you to believe something that is not true. So think about our world today. Just think about, you turn on the news and you can see this. Truth is severely under attack, right? I was born this way, but I want to be this way. And that's fine. You can be whatever you want to be, right? If you want to be a cat, be a cat. If you want to be a dog, be a dog. We'll just come up with a name for that, right? And everybody has to call you that, because truth is whatever you want it to be. 4 + 4 = green, cool. If that's what you want, go ahead, right? Truth is under attack. And this is the enemy's way. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. His way to the enemy's way is to destroy God's people, is to get you to believe that there is no such thing as truth. And the truth is so under attack. Think about the cults or the false teachings or the false belief systems that exist in our society today, right? They all flow out of this satanic deception. I believe that this is one of the greatest works in the hearts of men, that he wants to keep people separated from the truth. Ah, God, did God really say that? Does God really care if you do that? Is that really such a big deal? Because if the enemy can separate you from truth and he has you believing in his lies, what's going to happen is he's going to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Bible says, Jesus says, that you will know the truth, and what happens? The truth shall set you free. The truth is the thing that sets you free. See, the enemy is after your trust in God. So when you go through those hard things in life that you don't have an answer for, right? We all go through those things. Why is this happening? It's not fair. Why didn't you just take care of this, God? The enemy is after your trust in God. Okay, Bobby, I'm with you. All right, I'm with you. I believe that we have a real spiritual enemy. His weapons, the way he goes after me, he wants to destroy me. Well, what now? What do I do? Well, I'm going to give you just two real quick weapons for battle. All right, let me give you two weapons for battle, and then I'm going to give you three practical steps that you and I can use every day in our lives. Weapons that you and I have in our life, number one, is Scripture. Number one is Scripture. Now, I want to take just a minute, and I want you to see this story, all right? We all understand, most of you have probably heard, you know, Jesus came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He grows up, and then he starts doing ministry among people. He's walking the earth just like you and I do, right? And watch what happens when the enemy tries to come and deceive Jesus. When the enemy comes and tempts Jesus. When the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy Jesus. Well, what does he do? Look at Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. So right there, just stop right there. Physically, mentally, emotionally, Jesus was not in tip-top shape. He just fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. So he wasn't in a good headspace. Then the tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Now let me stop right there. What is the enemy doing? We see right off the bat, the enemy is going after Jesus' identity. If you are who you say you are, if you can really do what you say you can do, right? That's the enemy's tactic, man. He tries to get after your identity. He tries to get you to hate the person in the mirror and think that you're not good enough and your prayers aren't big enough and your faith isn't good enough. And he goes after Jesus. If you really are, and I want you to see this in verse 4. Look at Jesus' answer. He answered, "It is written." Wait a minute, what? He didn't rebuke the devil and just he didn't just kill the devil right there. What did Jesus do? Jesus uses Scripture. He says, it's written that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus himself takes the words of God, and that's his weapon that he uses against the enemy who's trying to defeat him. Not just once. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to them, again, he's attacking his identity, "If you are the Son of God, just throw yourself down. Jump off the cliff." Look at Jesus' response. "For it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus told him, "It is written, do not test the Lord your God." Again, he just gave him Scripture. Now the enemy's right back attacking him. He gives him more Scripture. Look at this. Let's go for a third one. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "I will give you all these things if you fall down and worship me." And I want you to think about this, especially our students in the room. Listen to me. The enemy wants to deceive you. If you can just get what everybody else gets, it all looks so good. It all looks so fun. It all looks like, man, if you could be just like everybody else. And here's the enemy testing Jesus, going, "Man, I'll give you all this fun stuff, and I'll give you all the splendor." And Jesus says, "Go away, Satan." And then he does it again. "For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil left him and the angels came and began to serve. Jesus used God's word to deny and to destroy the enemy. I want to speak this as much in love as I can. You have to know the word. You have to be in the word. Get in Scripture. Feed yourself. Don't depend on me once a week to feed you on Sundays. All right, let me give you a little weird insight to Bobby's brain, all right? I'm so practical when it comes to this stuff. Like, this is the way God wired me. And I thought to myself, well, if you ate food the same way that you read your Bible, how hungry would you be? Emma, our oldest daughter, she's driving now, and we have the whole conversation all the time about gas in her car, right? And she's always, Dad, I need gas money. Dad, I want you to give me gas money. And I'm always telling her no. Like, I'm really good at saying no. But she's always wanting gas money. And so this was my thought. If you put gas in your car every time you read the Bible, how far would you get? Some of us would be standing on the road like this and needing a ride, right? Here's Jesus. And he says, here's the weapon. Here's the game plan. Here's what you can use. Use the weapon of the Bible. Use scripture. The only thing to combat lies is truth. And the truth is found in God's word. Number two, the second weapon you and I can use in our life is found in the Son. It's found in the Son. It's kind of twofold here. Luke 10:17, the Bible says this. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us. And look at this. In your name. We talked about this a little bit last week. And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. Philippians 2, for this reason, God highly exalted him, and look at this, gave him what? The name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. The name of Jesus has power. And when you and I are being tempted by the devil, we proclaim, we announce, we pronounce the name of Jesus. It's a badge of honor that we get to wear. As a follower of Christ, as someone who has prayed and asked Jesus to become Lord of my life, I now have the name of Jesus attached to me. And I speak it and I announce it. And in his name, I'm stronger. I am able to withstand the deceiver in the name of Jesus. But not only in the name of Jesus, but by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the weapon, is the power. Think about this. Think about this with me. If there's anything that the enemy has, the only power that he has is through sin. Sin is the only power that the devil has. If you have sin in your life, listen to me, we're all sinners, right? But if you have unconfessed sin, unrepented sin, then there's power going on in your life right now. There's a war going on for your allegiance. So sin is what gives the devil power. The only thing that is stronger than sin is the blood of Jesus. That's it. The power of the blood of Jesus. So what gives the enemy power is sin, but what gives you power is the cross, the conquering blood of Jesus. And because of the blood of Jesus, it's the only way that you and I can be set free from the power of sin. Revelation 12, John says this, the salvation and the power, look at this, and the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ have now come. Because the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been thrown down. Here it is. They conquered him, how? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Because of Jesus' victory, you and I can have victory. In this spiritual warfare, in this spiritual battle that you're in every single day of your lives, you and I can have victory because of the blood of Jesus. Three battle strategies. Let me give you three really practical battle strategies. We're in a war. And the reality of this war is this. You may say, Pastor Bobby, I don't believe in all that. I don't know about all that. I'm just going to stay out of that. And that's fine. But from what I read, the truth is, no matter if you believe it or not, you're still in a battle. If I'm wrong on this subject, then you've lost nothing, really. But if you're wrong, and you're not fighting, and you don't believe that the enemy's real, and he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy you and your family and your marriage, your kids, your finances, your job, you don't believe that, then guess what happens? We're in trouble. Three battle strategies. Number one, we got to submit daily. We have to submit daily. The enemy is there to prowl, to watch your game film, to see how he can destroy your life. The Bible says in James chapter 4, therefore, look at this, submit to God, resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So I submit, and then I resist. I submit, then I resist. Come in the name of the Lord. God, today I'm coming to you. I'm submitting to you. Lord, fight with me today. Number two, this is probably the hardest one. Close any open doors that give the enemy access. Close any open doors that give the enemy access. You know, I talked about being a coach, and I love watching game film, and I love watching other teams because I like to find their weakness. You know what I don't really enjoy? I don't like watching film on my own team. Because I see things like, oh gosh, we are not very good right there. Oh gosh, if somebody watches this film, they're going to go right at us here. I know that the enemy, the opponent, can watch my game film and see the places that I'm weak. And so what do? I got to close any open doors that give the enemy access into my life. Church, you have to be honest about your weaknesses. As an individual, as a person, as a family, what are our weaknesses? Do what you have to do so the enemy will not be able to get into your life. Because guess what? What we like to do is, and again, the enemy deceives us. Oh, it's not that big a deal. Oh, that's okay. I mean, it's not as bad as, and we leave these little cracks in the door, and what happens? The enemy's not going to stop. He's not going to relent. He's only going to try to kick that door open a little bit further. And you and I got to do what we can to close the door. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says this: don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. You know what grows in darkness? You know what grows at nighttime? Mold, mildew, darkness. And the Bible says, don't be associated with the things of darkness, the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose the sin and the darkness in your life. But what is the world, what is our family, what has the enemy convinced us to do? To hide the things that we struggle with, right? We can't bring those out in the dark. We can't let people know that. They're gonna laugh at me, or they're gonna think bad about me. And here's God's word saying, guess what? Guess what? You gotta expose that sin. Get it out there. Get some accountability in your life. Because if the things you're saying, you're right? Maybe the open door is your mouth, is your tongue. Maybe the open door is the places you go, the movies you watch, the things you see when no one else is looking, the things you put into your body. What are the things in my life, God? I don't want to give the enemy any access into destroying me and my family. God, show me those places. The Bible says, search me and know me. And then it says this: show me if there's any offensive way in me. I went to a conference a year or so ago, and we're sitting around a campfire, and I was with some other guys in ministry, and I'm usually not the oldest guy in the room, but there was a bunch of like 20-year-olds here, and so I'm like feeling really old, and none of them had kids, and this like 22-year-old guy, he asked me a question, and to this day, like, it's the best question I've ever been asked about my relationship with Christ. And he asked this. He said, if the enemy was going to come up with a plan to take you out, what would he use? Like right now in your life, what is the place in your life, Bobby, that if the enemy was going to take you out of ministry, he was going to ruin your family, he's going to ruin your relationship with Christ, what would he use to take you out? I mean, what he was really asking me is like, if Satan is watching your game film, where's your weak places? And here's the hardest part, that we have to be not deceived by the enemy, and we have to get this out in the open, or guess what? He says, don't associate with the fruitless things of the darkness. And some of you right now today, let's just be a little bit real. Let's just be a little bit honest, all right? I'm speaking this in love. You're associated with things in darkness because of the shame, because of the fear of what's going on, and you need to expose that darkness. Close any doors that give the enemy access into your life. Number three, battle strategy. Number three, confront the enemy every day. You have to confront the enemy every day. Most of us as Christians, what are we? We play defense, right? I'm just going through life. I'm doing my thing. If anything bad comes, then I'll try to block it. I'll try to keep it out. I'll try to play defense. But I think what God's word teaches us is that we have to go. We have to confront the enemy every day. We're on offense. The bad news, here's the bad news, is that you were born into a battle. You were born for a battle. But the good news is you were born to win that battle. You were born with a Savior who wants to help you with this battle. 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children. You have conquered them because the one who is in you, look at this, he is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you, Christ follower, is greater than the one who is in the world. Here's the news flash. Satan's not scared of you. The enemy is not afraid of you, but he is afraid of who's in you. If you have that relationship with Christ, there's a fear of who's in you. I love the hat. I don't know who came up with it or the shirt, whatever it is. It says, not today, Satan. Maybe you've seen somebody. And you're just proclaiming, I'm not messing with you today, Satan. You're not going to steal my joy. You're not going to take my family. And some of you right now, parents, you need to go on the offensive for your kids. Stop just playing defense and go on the offense and proclaim and confront the enemy in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. Confront the enemy every day. The Bible says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. You know what that means? No matter what the enemy throws at me, if I have Jesus, it's not going to prosper. Romans 8:28, we all know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. All the things that Satan can throw at me, guess what? I can use it for his glory because I have a Savior. I have a weapon named Jesus. Church, I hope that today just opens your eyes a little bit, that there is a war raging for your allegiance. Some of you sit here today and you know it. You can feel it. You know you're in the midst of a battle. And I pray that today the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart and you would begin to expose those areas of your life. And yeah, it may hurt. It may cause some pain to you and to others. But stop allowing the enemy to destroy your life and your family by keeping things in the dark. I read this quote. The Bible says prayer is not only communion with God, it's also confrontation with the enemy. Confront the enemy every day. Let's get on offense as a church. Let's get on offense as dads, men in the room. Like, let's not just sit back and be the goalie anymore, just waiting to block some stuff when it comes. Let's get on offense and let's pray for our kids. And let's teach our kids scripture and let's quote scripture and let's use God's word every day of our lives in this spiritual battle for our children. When we see things of the enemy, when we see things of the devil, right? Like when we see maybe a picture or you know, parades nowadays, or people that are wearing a shirt, you know, 666 and the devil and all of his stuff, and we see people worshiping the devil. Let me just say this. You don't have to worship the devil. Just keep going through life not obeying God's commands, and you're on his team. You don't have to have a t-shirt and march in a parade. Just keep going against God's word. The Bible says repent and believe. Repent and believe. One of my favorite movies, and I'm going to be honest, like a lot of times when people come out with like Christian movies, you guys know it can be cheesy and you're just like, what? This isn't real. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called War Room. And there's just this scene where this lady is just calling out to the Lord, and she's playing offense, and she's telling God, and she's fighting against the devil, and she's just in her war room, and she's battling the enemy for herself and for her family and for others and for her church. I just want to encourage you today. Like it's time for us to get in our war room and fight. We can't just sit back. If tonight when you get home and you go around and you lock all the doors and you hear somebody trying to break into your house, what are you going to do? You're going to make sure they don't get your family. You're going to make sure that you get them out. Well, you have an enemy that's watching your game film, and he knows where you're weak. He knows where you left the window cracked. He knows that your door's unlocked, and he's trying every single day to defeat you and destroy you. And if you're not fighting against the enemy every day, he's working so much harder than you. I hope that today opens your eyes. Maybe today was just a reminder. Church, we got an enemy, and there's spiritual warfare going on, and we got to fight this spiritual warfare on our knees. We got to proclaim the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. We got to expose. We got to bring things into light. I want to challenge you today. Get in your war room, church. Get in your war room and battle the enemy who wants to destroy you and your family and everything about you. Today, as we close our time together and kind of as we wrap up this season of 21 days of prayer, I want to do something a little bit different. I feel like one of the best ways that we can battle, one of the best ways that we can fight this spiritual enemy is by honoring the Lord, is by remembering the sacrifice that God sent his son Jesus to die for us. And so today as a community, as a church, we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to ask our guys in the back to come on, and we're going to pass out the communion elements right now. And let me say this. This is for any person who has believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus alone for your salvation. Don't feel any pressure to partake. If you don't feel comfortable enough, you don't have to do this part. But together as a church family, I want to go ahead and use this as our battle plan. I know many of you have probably taken communion before, maybe dozens, hundreds of times. But just quickly, just a reminder or a refresher, we come together as the body of Christ to fix our hearts and our minds on the fact that we have a loving Savior, that his death, burial, and resurrection remind us that God would rather send his son into this excruciating pain than to live without you. It's a time for us to remember what's really most important. It's meant, this time is I love that Jesus had his disciples and they took this Last Supper and they did this together. But this time is to mean, I mean, it was immensely, immensely a personal time between you and the Lord, between the disciple and the Lord. And so although we do this together, it's meant to be a personal time between us and the Lord. And the Bible says this, so then whoever eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord, listen to this, in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of our Lord. So what do? I don't want to take this in an unworthy manner. And he says, let a person examine himself, and in this way let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. Whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So the Bible right here calls us to this time to examine our hearts, examine ourselves before the Lord. That means if I have unconfessed sin, unrepented sin, if I have anything in my heart that's standing between me and God, this is the time to examine that and bring that before the Lord. So let's bow our heads. Let's prepare our hearts. And let's take a moment and examine your life right now. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we would be battle ready. God, today we are reminded of your ultimate sacrifice. You died on that cross to help us win the battle. You died on that cross. You shed your blood. You rose again so that we can be certain that in the end we win. Today, I just come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that we can rely on you. Father, thank you that there's times in my life when I'm losing the battle, that you're always right there helping me back up, getting back on the right track. Pray that if there's one here today that realize they're losing, God, that you would redeem, that they would repent, you would restore. Just help us to honor you. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.